Blog Talk Radio.
You may ask me why I serve the Lord. Is it just for heaven's gain? Or to walk those mighty streets of gold and to hear the angels sing? Is it just to drink from the fountain that never shall run dry? Or just to live forever, ever and ever in that sweet old by and by? But if heaven never was promised to me, neither God promised to live eternally. It's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along, brought me the light. If there were never any streets of gold, neither a land where we'll never grow, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along, brought me the light. Oh, He's been my closest friend down through the years. And every time I cry, He dries all my tears. Just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along and brought me alive. I was lost and living in a world of darkness, but it brought me the light. Don't you know I was living in a world of darkness, but it brought me the light.
Take me in by the blood of the Lamb.
That's right. Take the cold. Cleanse my lips. Here I am. Hopefully y'all can hear me okay. There's a little static on the show. Oh, I think that's because this song had me in. No, I still hear the static. Tell you what, let's do this. Let me call the show right back. I don't know if y'all can hear me or not, so let me just call the show right back. In the meantime, check this out. I'll play. Let's see what we can do here while I'm calling back the show. Let's see. Okay, we'll do this. Let's get some testimonies while we're doing this. All right, I'll call the show right back. Just hold on, everybody.
Shalom, and welcome to Five Smooth Stones Radio with Brother Seth, a place where the Hebrew Israelite can call home and where an awakening is taking place from the four corners of the earth. Five Smooth Stones with Brother Seth have compelling and informative programming during the week, starting with, on Sundays at 11:30 p.m., Proof of Biblical Hebrews 101, Tuesdays at midnight, Racial Matters and Solutions, Thursdays at midnight, New World Watch Society, and around out the week on Saturdays, the International Israelite Forum. Check back with Five Smooth Stones for specific times, and all shows are on Central Standard Time. I'm Brother Bobby, a.k.a. Victim 2 Victorious, and these shows have been a blessing to me, and I'm sure they'll be a blessing to you. So come check out Brother Seth here at Five Smooth Stones Radio, where your mind will be expanded, your spirit challenged, and the peace of the Most High reigns supreme. Shalom.
And that's right, that's right. All glory due to the Most High, I promise you. All glory due to the Most High. Just thank Him for everything. That is Victim to Victorious. One correction on what he said on Sundays. We are doing a different show. I'm doing a show with my family because something a little different. Anyway, how's everybody doing out there? Hopefully everybody's doing well. Again, thank you for joining me for another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Five Smooth Stones. I am Brother Seth, and tonight I thought I'd do something a little different. We normally talk about this night. It's normally set aside for the New World Order Watch Society, where we look at this wicked regime that have taken over the world, calling themselves the New World Order. But tonight, I thought I'd do something a little different, take a little side road, and just stop and reflect. Stop and reflect on just what is going on in my own personal life. You know, it ain't always about what the wicked folks is doing. Sometimes I like y'all to know what's happening in my personal life, because After all, these people are so powerful, it's hard to touch them. It is just simply hard to put a finger on these people. And some of y'all halfway don't believe a lot of the things we talk about. Anyway, on Thursday night, y'all know it's the truth. But there is a new world order, but tonight we won't be talking about it. This is nothing more than a kingdom of Satan trying to duplicate what the Most High is doing. So tonight I just want to expand the conversation into my life, let y'all hear firsthand what the Most High is doing in my life, how he has just simply been with me, again, even in my foolishness. And, you know, we all get foolish sometimes, but he has been there, and I just owe so much to him. And it just would not be right for me to keep giving the enemy all the time on this show and not give glory to the Most High. Truly, truly, he deserves all praise today. So today I'm going to try my best to level the playing field and just talk about some things that y'all didn't know about Brother Seth. Now, I've often invited y'all to click on my Facebook and look at all of the different countries I've been to and try to get an idea on just how much the Most High have done with me in my travels. But some of y'all hadn't taken advantage of that, so you still don't know exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about places like Ethiopia, when I talk about places like Hong Kong, and what when I try to share different things that happen in these places. You don't know about them because you didn't take the trip through Facebook. But Facebook, I have a nice little layout of all the countries. So, again, you would get there by simply going to the front page, www.blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. Okay, that's blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. If you do that and click on the Facebook link, you'll see a lot of these countries I've been to, like Israel, Ethiopia, Great Britain, albino, they call it albino, but it's still albino. Albino, Italy, right outside Milan. Why did I go there? Researching this whole concept about albinism being another type of leprosy, Leviticus 13. Ain't no hatred there, just flat up science. Talk a lot about that, even in the presentation on Facebook. Brazil, Australia, Papua New Guinea, Guam, China, France, Holland, Canada, Dominican Republic, Chuuk, just all over. Haven't been everywhere, but I've been a few places. But like I tell people, the blessing that the Most High have done in my life is not so much that I've seen those places. It's who I seen at those places. It's what they shared at those places. Not all those places did I have a revelation or something like that, but it's just some of those places was key informing me as to who I am right now. So tonight I just want to talk about key people in my life that I've been introduced to, that come across my path. Some of them just are so-called no-names, but they were very powerful in my book. And then others you might know because they would be considered celebrities. Okay, so we just want to talk about a little bit of that tonight and some key events that happened in my life. Key events, what do I mean by key events? Like, let's just take, for instance, when I did visit the Israelites in Dimona, events they had there that was educational and revealing about the lost tribes of Israel right there in the land of Israel. Key events mean what happened in Ethiopia when I visited the Ethiopian Museum, all the different places, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, and found out that church is the oldest church on the planet, predating Catholicism by thousands of years. That was a church established by the monks. How the Most High used this young man that was taking me around to share this with me. I give him all the glory, the honor, and the praise. I'm telling y'all, you're in for a treat tonight, You're getting firsthand information. You ain't got to worry about no CNN, ABC, all them folks that's trying to hide truth. This brother, talking about myself, have seen some things. Again, I don't know everything. I don't even, I'm not going to say that. But anyway, what I know, I know. And what I've seen, I've seen. Nobody can take that away. Nobody can take the experiences I had in Egypt, for instance. You know, nobody can take those experiences away. And what I felt the most, I seen staring at those pyramids and staring at the Sphinx. Nobody can take away. When he gives you something, he gave you something. It's all there is to it. And what's yours is yours. All right? And that's just what I'm doing. I'm sharing tonight what I feel like the Most High have imparted to me through key people, key events, key places, key travels. And that is it, just lifting up his name tonight because he truly is alive in my life. Now, a lot of times when you share these types of stories, people automatically assume you got it all together. They automatically assume you walk around here praying all the time. That's not true. Some days I'm so fleshing out, it's like I don't even want some of my friends to see me because I act so much out of the character of Christ. It's not funny. I have my days when I'm, you know, my flesh gets the best of me. But I can say this. I haven't given up the fight. I haven't given up the fight. I haven't given up the profession of calling myself a child of the Most High, pursuing his truth, pursuing his people, and just trying to know more about him. I will hopefully never, ever turn my back on that way of life. So that, I can assure you, I'm in his way, his path of righteousness. Having said that, let me just say this before I move any further, because once I get going, y'all know how it is, I forget about all kind of other stuff, and so I just want to get these little preliminaries out of the way. Folks, please follow this show. If you're listening on the sound of my voice, you like what I'm saying, like so many of y'all do, you send me emails saying, oh, that was such a blessing, and some of y'all disagree with me, and that's good. I want that. I don't want a bunch of people that's sitting around scared to disagree with you. I want to know, what do y'all feel about the things I'm saying? Because I can be in error in some things I say. But I try my best to share what the Most High have done in my life and be as truthful as can. I mean, think about it. Ain't no money involved. You know, that's the only time my people get into lying and halfway telling the truth when there's some type of profit involved. And the great thing about Blog Talk Radio, even though I'm not down with the owners and all this, I don't know who they are, what they do with the money, but I do know that on this particular platform, you're more apt to hear truth because people are not getting paid, okay? They're not making a whole lot of money. This is just some people do out of the kindness of their heart, and this is where you can get a lot of information. A lot of prophets and scholars is sharing over these airways, and you can bank on a lot of things they say, whereas if you listen to some of these other networks, there is a monetary motive or some type of motive behind what's going on. I just want to share about the Father. I love the Father. I love what he is doing in the earth. I love the fact that he gave me the opportunity to come to this planet and live in a body of spirit. You know, I don't believe that I started my age. I think I lived before I actually had a body, but giving that spirit a body, allowed him to come through form of a woman, just like Christ. We're not the age we are. That's our body. Our body is 20 years old, 30 years old, but our spirits, shoot, has no, anyway, too deep there. Let's stick with the program. So anyway, tonight I just want to give honor and praise to the Most High. You know, some people say, well, I know you talk a lot about this whole Hebrew thing. Why do you do that? You talk a lot about racism on Tuesday nights. Every Tuesday night, you're on the blog talking about racism. How can you do it every single week? Why do you do that? Well, hopefully tonight, after I share the testimony and different things I've been through, not just as a child, but as a youth and teenager, and in the first marriage, I was married once before, all the things I experienced in these white jumbo Walmart-sized churches I used to attend. Once you begin to hear all of these different stories and and experiences, you'll understand why I'm so passionate about us truly being one and not this fakeness that the church demonstrates, but a true one, a church truly on one accord. That's what I long for. That's what I long to see, a church rid of racism, a church that's not afraid to say, yes, yes, I do see that this book, the Bible, was full of people of color. It's not the most important thing, but yes, I want to hear my white brothers and sisters say that out of their mouth. I want to hear the world declare who the true Israelites are, what the Most High is really doing within the earth. I want to hear the whole planet declare who America is, how she is Revelation 17 whore, and how she will be trampled by other nations. We don't want that. We don't want that. We don't wish that. But according to the Bible, according to the Bible, and what the description is of this place called Babylon, we know beyond a shadow of doubt that it is truly America. We already seen it happen, so people can argue it and hate it and think people like me is crazy for saying it, but guess what? It's already happening. It's already happened. Just like the Bible says in Revelation 17, how those 10 horns, the Most High put it inside of the 10 horns, which represent 10 nations, to hate this whore in Revelation 17, and they're going to destroy her from within. And it's already happened. So fight it all you want, folks. So anyway, these are the types of things the Most High have given me over the years. And if you want to know why Brother Seth always talking about these things, tonight is your night. So I would just sit back, just simply listen, have an open spirit, and just hear about this glory that I plan on giving to the Most High, okay? It's just that simple, folks. Sometimes we want to hear about all these things about the Illuminati and all these powerful people that we can't touch and we can't get our hands on, but we know what they're doing. But sometimes it's good to just talk about what the Most High is doing in your life, in your kids' life. I mean, in your kids' life, in your husband's and wife's life, in your marriage, in your body, miracles, testimonies. People need to hear that the Most High is truly, truly real. Not something to argue about, not something we worship at on the Shabbat, those of you who keep the Shabbat. You know, he's not this figure that we just worship at. He sent the Messiah to the earth to make sure that we don't have that kind of relationship with him. He sent the Messiah to be a lamb and to be slain once and for all for the sins of the world, because he was tired of bulls and goats, the blood of bulls and goats, according to Hebrews, I believe 10 it is. Says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me, is what that passage says. But I'm thankful for him sending the Messiah, and the Messiah shedding his blood, that we can have a one-on-one relationship with the Most High. We don't have to go through no priests. We don't have to make no confessions to no Catholic priests. But we have a one-on-one relationship with the Most High because of what happened on the hills of Golgotha. So I'm thankful. And by the way, I've seen that hill in Israel. That's another blessing I hope to share tonight. It's my trips to Israel. The Most High blessed me to have went there many times and meet many people. And I still have friends there on a first-name basis that I talk to, sometimes email. And it has been a blessing what the Most High have done with my relationship with the Israelites in the land of Israel. I'm talking about African-Americans that moved there. I'm talking about dark-skinned people, Ethiopian Jews that are there. So the Most High just blessed me to, and you heard a lot of, I don't like saying the word me. I've done probably over, I don't know how many shows. It's got to be well over 100. And I don't like talking about me because I hate it when people start saying he's trying to get glory, blah, blah. I hate that. So sometimes I miss out on blessings by not talking about me. But tonight I'm going to say the word me a lot. So just don't, y'all, if you know me, again, you know it's not something I like giving other people credit over myself sometimes. But tonight I want to talk about me and what the Most High have done in my life, in my family, in my body, in my mind, okay, in my spirit, in my emotions, all right? So anyway, on Tuesday night we started this off part one. Today is part two. And then we'll do a part three on Saturday. I'm going to do three different shows talking about what the Most High have done in my life. And some of y'all think that all I want to talk about is racism and white supremacy and who the real Israelites are and Illuminati and spirituality and spiritual warfare and New World Order. So you'll get to hear the balance today, okay? Yesterday, I mean, Tuesday, rather, we talked about my childhood, how I was born to a single parent, raised in the so-called projects, low income, but how that in the low income, I talked about how the spirit of low income people or the spirit in the hood or the spirit among the down and the out is a very humbling situation. You know, I'm not saying everybody in the hood is right because y'all know that's far from the truth, but I'm saying being born into a low-income poverty type of environment, of course, we didn't think that it was poverty when we was coming up in it, but looking back, many would say, you know, y'all was poor. I've learned that a lot of people then were more humble. Some, it's hard to find the type of humility that I've seen in the projects. You know, when your neighbor know that you don't have it all, and you know that your neighbor don't have it all, and everybody's kind of open. You know, that's why it's so easy to go and borrow a cup of sugar next door. How they always joke about, you know, that. But that's why it's so easy to borrow a cup of sugar, because people know, hey, you know, don't front. I know you don't have it. And everybody's kind of transparent. And that transparency can sometimes cause humility. That humility, I'm not talking about I'm talking about certain humility. Some people can live in low income and their hearts is just as wicked as folks that are wealthy and trying to rip everybody off. But I'm talking about a humility that you see oftentimes among people that live a very simple life. The Most High can use that, and he did use that. I saw very many people that was raised in low income environments that were used mightily of the Most High. And some of y'all might say, well, how would they move used mightily if they was raised in the, if y'all was in the projects and low income? Because the Most High loved the humility. Let's look at the scriptures. How many times you saw situations where the person that was the lowliest person in the story was the star of the story, from the widow and her mites, the way she gave offering, and Christ said she gave more than everybody else, but yet she only put a few little coins up there on that table, but the Messiah said she gave more than everybody. And we can go on and talk about how the Christ said it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom, and we just mention many, many scripture words almost as if the Most High favors poor people, but he don't favor the poverty, because the poverty is of Satan. To not have enough is not of the Most High at all. He does not want us poor. For sure, okay, for sure, he does not want us poor. If you don't have enough to do what you need to do, the Most High has nothing to do with that. I'm talking about the humility that comes when you find yourself in that situation. Everybody see you, and you just finally just give up and just say, I ain't trying to front no more. You just become humble, and it has a way of humbling you. And the Most High can use that type of heart is what I'm talking about. Having said that, lots of people, lots of relationships, even to this day, I still have. And I have no way of proving it, but I would bet that some of those relationships is more lasting than some of these phony relationships that we have in corporate America. I mean, because when you go through something with people, it just, you know how that goes. Even soldiers talk about that, how when you go through stuff in war, you know, that bond is hard to break, even after 30, 40 years after the war. That's how it kind of is in the hood. When you are raised with people and you're transparent, they're transparent with you, that transparency type of friendship lasts, okay? Having said that, moving on, because I talked about this last Tuesday about how we was raised. My mother had us raised in church. We went every single day. We already talked about this. Very religious. Saw a lot of things in churches, crooked things, righteous things, miracles, fake miracles, saw it all. That's what happened when you go to church every day. You see a little bit of it all. Saw holy people, saw people that said they was holy, saw people that were straight up satanic in the same church with their hands up like everybody else. Everything under one roof. That's what happened when you go to church every day. You see it all. So it's very hard to intimidate me with talking in tongues, very hard to intimidate me. Even if you do perform a miracle in front of me, I can acknowledge that the Most High just touched this person's body and still not trust the vessel that he's using. I don't trust people, period. Don't matter how much anointing you have. Don't care what the Most High is doing in your life or have done in your life. People can be used by the enemy. And because for that reason, me knowing that we all are just vessels and can be used by the Most High or Satan, for that reason and that reason alone, I don't trust people that well. I trust the Most High. He's the only one that deserves our trust. Now, I love people, okay? I love people, and I'll work with people. And I'll do whatever I can to get along with people, but I don't trust. Don't trust because everybody has a flesh. And I know people will do anything. If they're not in the scriptures and prayed up and fasted up and really trying to fellowship and hang out with believers and people that are strong, if they're not around strong people, they'll do anything. Anybody will do anything. A preacher will do anything under the right circumstance. If they don't read their Bible, stay spiritual, stay close to the fire, so to speak, they can be just as carnal as anybody. I have so much proof on it, but let's talk about what's going on. I mentioned the countries I've been to. It's been 24. Hopefully I'll be able to go to some soon, but I've been to a lot of local places too in the United States that have been a blessing, especially the New York area, meeting the Hebrew Israelites up there, learning different things. And you hear me talk a lot about the Israelites this, the Israelites that, but there's a whole lot of truth the Most High brought. I cannot talk about Israelites for the rest of my life and still have been blessed by what the Most High did when he began to open up this whole revelation of sanctification by blood, by what Christ, what the Most High did through Christ, sanctification. We are sanctified, made holy, made righteous. We are the righteousness. The Bible says we are the righteousness of God. Now, of course, some of us know that the word God and Lord was not in the book. Okay, these are terms added later. I only say that because I say them because I don't want to scare off people that hadn't done the study yet. So those of you that know this information, please know that I know the word G-O-D, L-O-R-D, and even J-E-S-U-S. These terms were not in the original. There was no J in the Hebrew. I understand that. So having said that, when I talk about scripture from here on out in this show, I'm going to use all three of those terms because some people don't know what I'm talking about, and I have to turn this show into a study on that right now in order for them to catch up. But it's not fair. If you know, then you know. Just know I know too, okay? But anyway, I kind of lost my train of thought. But I'll think of it in a second. But I got a list of things here, and there's a lot on this list that the Most High have done. I mean, we're talking about different people I've met. That he have used to bring across my path. One thing I want to talk about is an event I went to that touched me probably more than any event I've ever been to in my life, and that is the Million Man March. The Million Man March. Now, a lot of people felt like Farrakhan. They don't like Farrakhan, this, that, and the other, but the Million Man March, to me, has topped any and every event I have ever been to. I've been to large crusades. As a matter of fact, I went to a crusade to counter what Farrakhan was doing in Washington. I went to T.D. Jakes had a a rally to kind of counter what Farrakhan was doing. And T.D. Jakes had at least about 25,000 men at his event, very large event. And I was, you know, I went because some friends talked me into going. I'm talking about what the Most High have done, okay? It's all about the Most High tonight. I'm trying to show y'all what happened to me with regards to the Million Man March. So I went to the T.D. Jakes March only because some friends persuaded me to go. My heart wasn't really there. But, you know, I got there, 25,000 black men, you know, worshiping the Most High, calling on his name, shouting. The Winans was there. I mean, it was nice. It was nice. But something happened when Jakes began to walk, when T.D. Jakes March happened. If anybody was there, you know what happened when they began to march. Remember, Farrakhan had a march. Jakes called 25,000. Well, he called black men together in Atlanta to counter it. So I flew up to Atlanta, went to the march, and when they began to march, it was so unorganized. If you know anything about T.D. Jakes, he always go first class. There ain't nothing ever not unorganized. But that was one time, T.D. Jakes, and that whole, all those brothers was so raggedy. I mean, anyway, I want to talk about what do I mean by that, but they wasn't organized, okay? And plus, they told everybody to stay in their seats, and they was going to come back and call us, and they never called us, and people just started leaving on their own. It just was unorganized, trust me. All right, Jakes get to the courthouse and try and begin to pray. But when he began to pray, it still wasn't organized. You know, here he was praying that Most High, you know, bless the black men, bless the black family, and trying to counter what Farrakhan was doing. Again, I'm talking about what the Most High did with me. Watch this. I'm going somewhere with this story. So later after the event, I'm flying back home, and I see on C-SPAN a glimpse of the Million Man March. When I saw all those people, and that's where my heart was in the first place. I got scolded by some brothers saying, you shouldn't be supporting Farrakhan, blah, 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 blah. He's a Muslim, blah, 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 blah. You should be coming to the march in Atlanta. So that's why I was in Atlanta. But at the Atlanta airport, I saw where Jakes was doing his thing. I mean, Farrakhan had his march going on. Well, the people was there. It was beginning to come. And I was so moved by that video. I said, ma'am, what is the next plane to D.C.? And I flew from Atlanta to, I forget where I connected at, but I ended up getting to D.C. pretty quickly. Went to the march, and I'm telling you, when I came up on that mall, you know, where they was at the mall, and I saw those black men all standing, nobody sitting down. These brothers stood for like 12, 13, 14, a long time, okay? This is all a standing thing. So not only did Farrakhan get over a million black men on a Monday, but he got over a million black men on Monday standing. And I have never seen the look on those black men's face that I saw. Everybody was there as if to say, okay, all the so-and-so done stop. All the BS stop. We serious. There was a seriousness. But the best time, and every brother that went will tell you the best time for the Million Man March was the very end when Farrakhan finished his speech. And we began to start hugging one another. You know, my wife sometimes teased me, you know, how we all went up there to get a hug, whatever. But I'm telling y'all, when we began to hug all of these different black men, I probably got, I don't know, 75 hugs in less than 10 minutes. I mean, brothers, businessmen, all kind of folk. It didn't matter who you were, what you were. We might have been hugging Denzel. We might have been hugging Ray Ray, no matter who we was hugging. That was the most moving event I have ever experienced as a black man on this planet. Nothing can touch the Million Man March. So that's why I mention it first. Okay, so I'm just thankful that I was able to be a part of that, okay? Now, having said that, and a lot of the programs that come out of that, well, you don't hardly ever hear about it, but there was a lot of people that was fostered, a lot of men because they called on us to take this vow and to say this, you know, and basically just take an oath that we would do better as black men. And that was another moving thing. And a lot of people was helped by that. Okay? So the Most High used C-SPAN. It was in my spirit. He wouldn't let that thing die in me. Now, had the Most High not rose up in me, someone might say, well, how do you know it was the Most High? When you're talking about something spiritually, it's very hard to say with proof because you're not in my spirit. Now, sometimes you can, by your spirit, detect that my spirit is right. All I can tell y'all was I was on my way home from Atlanta, having did this counter march, but there was something brewing inside of me. Now, when I saw C-SPAN, it just hit me like, you need to go there. So the Most High, by his spirit, brought me to Washington to experience something that really was life-changing. I'll never forget that event. Having said that, I've taken trips all over the world that have had similar responses. None as influential as that, but Most High blessed me so much in the land of Israel. I got to bring up Israel. This is the place I've been to more than I've been anywhere. I've been to Israel. Well, no, maybe I've been to New York more than I've been anywhere. But I mean, as far as outside of Texas, I think I've picked New York because I've been there lots of times. But anyway, I've been to Israel about 9 times. And those times, the brothers of me, y'all have got to get to Dimona. Even if you don't agree with everything they teach, you got to go and listen to what they do teach that you agree with, because I'm sure there's something in Dimona for you. The way those brothers teach about the diet, the way those brothers teach about eating right, and you know, they're vegans, not vegetarians, vegans, and they have a serious testimony. You know, they keep a lot of the Old Testament laws. They're the ones that's got me to reconsidering the law, because they was able to implement those laws even today and see a lot of results from the law. The Most High, I believe the Father, led me to the land of Israel. I heard one of the princes on Bev Smith's show, Prince Emmanuel, and I was drawn in my spirit to this brother because he was very kind. He's very soft-spoken, but yet firm and powerful. Knew what he was talking about, very well-educated, and just was firing those scriptures. And it was something about the way that brother was talking, as well as what he was saying, that resonated my spirit, sent me on a course looking for this man they call Ben Ami, and trying to find his book, God, the Black Man, and Truth. And that started me on my journey to Dimona. Anyway, I called the Bev Smith Show. Bev got me a hold. Bev connected me to Prince Emmanuel. Prince Emmanuel connected me with Prince Asiel. Prince Asiel is second in command of the group in Dimona. When I went to Dimona, I got red carpet treatment. I do mean red carpet treatment. They wait on me hand and foot like a queen, a king. And I even sat with Ben Ami while... which is a rare thing. Normally don't bring the guests on the stage. But it was just a connection I had with Prince Emmanuel that allowed all that. But that was the Most High, I believe, introducing me to some people that I think is probably some of the sharpest people with regards to the interpretation of the scripture that I've ever seen. I've been to Tulsa. I've been to the Bible Belt, Dallas-Fort Worth area. I've seen some very, very intelligent, sharp Hebrew, Greek-speaking bunch of people. I've been to ORU, which is like the part of the Bible Belt as well. I've seen a lot of ministries, humongous, multi-million-dollar ministries. But none of them can hold a candle to the folks in Israel. I don't think it's because they live in the land either. It's just they study the scriptures so much. You know, those priests they have that is priest 24/7. I've just never seen nothing like it. People break down the Hebrew in such a way with history and able to cipher out the Greco-Roman influence in the scriptures. And then when they take you on a tour of the land, these people know the land. I mean, they know the land like the back of their hand. And so if you ever go to Israel, please stop by Dimona and let them people show you around, show you Israel. Do not let the Israelis take you and show you nothing. They are going to hide certain areas of Israel so you will never see. You will go there and get in those buses, and they'll take you around, and you'll see something fly right out of there and pay a whole lot of money and not know that that land is a land of people of color. Now, is that the most important thing? No. Again, I don't trivialize the things that I say tonight about just color and Jesus being black or Yeshua being black or Yahushua being black. No. Don't do that. This is far more important than that. And that's why Israel is not showing y'all the true people of the land. They don't show y'all prison gate, all of those black Africans in prison gate about, I don't know, what, 400 feet from the Wailing Wall. I mean, it's not very far. It's not very far at all. African community right there in the city of David. They don't show y'all that. You must tell those people too. Don't you ever go in the Wailing Wall because we never see them. But anyway, when you go to the Israelites in Dimona, they take you to prison gate. They show you African president. They show you African president in Bethlehem. They show you African president in I can't even think of Sego Shalom. I think I got that right. They show you African presence in Dimona. They show you the African presence, all the Tiberias. They show you the African presence all throughout the land, okay? And they explain who these people are, how that they are people that didn't leave when the Crusades came, their forefathers fought. And there is a remnant still in the land. That remnant is actually more populist than the Israelis. Anyway, Dimona, I don't want to spend too much time talking about it because I want to just hit many different people, many different subjects, many different events that the Most High have blessed you with. But that was another one. I thank and praise him for my experience with these people. Let me back up and talk about something that probably I should have mentioned first. I hit it a little bit in my first part one, but some of y'all didn't hear part one, so I need to hit this. And that is my faith, my belief. What do I believe? Who do I believe in? I mean, do I believe in the Son? Do I believe in the Father? Do I believe that in the Bible? I mean, I can't assume y'all know that. Some of y'all don't know what I believe. I believe that the Bible is definitely inspired by the Most High. I do believe it's missing some vital books, but I think there's enough books that we have to salvage anybody's soul. I think there's enough truth in the Bible to transform anybody's life. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit that the Bible talks about is for sure well equipped to bring any soul into a state of salvation. What do I mean by a state of salvation? Into a place where you can hear the Most High speak and lead and guide you. I believe that there is a such thing as the Holy Spirit, that it is up on the earth, and it does draw men back to the Creator. Okay? I believe that Yeshua, some people say Yeshua, some people say Yahawashah, some people say Jesus, some people say Emmanuel, some people say the Messiah. Whatever you want to call this being that came to the earth, sent by the Father. I do not believe that he is the Father. I think that's insulting the very message Christ preached, because he constantly said over and over and over, I do what I see my Father do. I do what I see my Father do. At one point he said, if I speak of myself, it is not true. What? If I speak of myself, it is not true. He do, you see the Father do. One lady asked him, Grant my son to sit with you when you come back, when you come back to rule and reign. Grant my son, one of my sons to sit on your right hand, the other one on the left. And the Messiah said, I can't grant that. Only the Father can grant that. One lady said to him, good master. He says, whoa, there ain't but one good. There ain't but one good. Can you believe that? There ain't but one good. This is what Christ said. I preach what he preached. If he says that, I'm going to say that. He is not the Father. However, he has been exalted. All power in heaven and earth, I believe, has been given unto that being, the Messiah. Now, side road. If all power has been given unto the Messiah, what kind of powerful being have it like that to where they can give somebody power over both heaven and earth? That gives you an idea of what the Father is like. This being is who I call the Most High. I don't even try to say his name because some people will try to spend a whole lifetime arguing with the calling. I just call him like Paul called him, the Most High. So when I say the Most High, I'm not referring to Christ. Christ came, shed his blood, died, having been sent from the Father. Thanks for his faithfulness. I'm thankful for his obedience upon the earth. I believe everything he ever said. I believe everything he said out of his mouth. And I do believe he is the example we are to use. We're to follow Christ. He is our chief example. And I do believe he is Lord, if for lack of a better term. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. I do believe he runs this earth, in other words. All power has been given unto him. The Bible says when everything is restored, then he, Christ himself, will become subdued under the Father. That's powerful, y'all. So the Most High is who I give all the glory and honor to, because he is the one that orchestrated our redemption through Christ. That's what Brother Seth believed. Want to know what I believe? That's what I believe. Okay, and I receive that story. I receive this Christ. I have invited the Most High in my life, in my heart, and I have chose to walk after Christ's example. Am I good at it? I don't think so. I think I mess up more than I do well, but I'm on that path, like I said earlier. So let's talk a little bit about Brother Seth and his youthful moments, okay? I want to thank the Most High and share with you how that as a teenager, I did not like the church. The church is very out of touch with young people. The church is very out of touch with young people. Now, it has changed, though. This has changed. But in the olden days when we was coming up, there was nothing for us. And that's why so many people my age is on church, because we didn't have anything that they didn't teach us right, and we just didn't see the value of having a relationship with the Most High. So all throughout my teens, I slept in church and was troubled. And all the time I wanted to pray to the Most High is like a lot of people do today, is when I wanted stuff and when I was scared. I was always afraid to die in my sleep because I knew if I died in my sleep, I would probably open my eyes and what I believed in is hell. Okay? And I didn't want to go to sleep because I didn't want to die. And like the preacher said, if you die and you in your sleep, you're going to hell if you're not right. So it wasn't a very spirituality was not fun for me as a teen. But when I became 18 years old, graduation night, June 4th, 1979 to be exact, I gave my life to the Most High, got serious. And I've been walking with him ever since. It's a father and son relationship, y'all. Like any father and son relationship, it's up and it's down. Sometimes I walk, run out the house and slam the door in his face and say he can't tell me what to do, just like any other father and son. It's a relationship. That's probably how yours is too, while you're playing. I don't mean it like while you're playing, but anyway, but no, I do have a relationship, but sometimes, you know, my flesh and I'm just keeping this thing real, okay? Keeping it as real as I can get it. But anyway, moving right along. I was, before I graduated, one thing I forgot to tell y'all is when the Most High started to bring me in closer to Him, to the point where I would give up and serve Him, He used something. We used to dance. We used to lock. I don't know if y'all remember pop lock and all that. Well, I used to do that back in 11th and 12th grade. And as looking back at it, I believe it was something that the Most High actually had me doing, because it wasn't nothing bad. It was just dancing. But what it did, it consumed my entire mind, my body, because we had to learn all these very fancy, hard moves and have to dress a certain way and move a certain way. And there's a lot of choreography, I guess that's what I'm saying that right. And it just was something that just tied up a lot of my time to where I wouldn't be thinking about going and getting on these, you know, I wouldn't be messing up some of these girls' lives if had it not been for dancing. So I think the Most High, and I'm not saying that was what I was deliberately trying to do, but I'm just saying, you know how young boys are when they're in their sophomore, junior, senior year. You know, these high schoolers, it's only one or two or three things on their mind. But with us, we had this dancing going on that I believe preserved us long enough for me to sit down and take a long, hard look at my life. And in my senior year, I gave my life to the Most High, and I began to live for Him. That was June 4th, June 30th. I got even more serious, okay, and began to study my Bible. I was reading the Bible up to 4 hours a day. Again, we're talking about tonight, my testimony, what the Most High have done in my life. But I began to start studying the Bible, and I began to come up with a lot of questions. A lot of things began to not make sense to me, and I continued to study. Something happened, folks. After helping a young lady run for office in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, she ran for city councilman. She lost, and then there was another lady that ran and for city council, and I had gotten fired at the Americana Hotel. I'm talking about something the Most High did. Watch this story, y'all. Watch what happens here. This is going to be interesting. I was a young man working at this very nice hotel, wearing a Botany 500 suit, very nice job as a night auditor, and one of the first night auditors they hired, was the first night auditor they hired. It was four of us hired at the same time. But I lost that job, and I didn't understand why, because I worked so hard. And that's when this lady who ran for office, she and I was talking, and she had brought up the fact, told her I was just tired after me getting fired. And I said to her, I feel lost. I don't know what to do. And I said, she said, well, what do you like doing outside of working at that hotel? I said, well, I like sharing the word. I like talking about the word. I like studying the word. I like helping people. And she had said, have you ever thought about being a minister? Now, you got to understand, all my life, I have hated, with a capital H, ministry, because those people are responsible for folks' lives. It's not like any other profession. You get in trouble with the Most High if you do that job wrong. So I want no part of it. But when she said it that particular time, I can't explain it. It's like anything else spiritual. It's hard to convey spiritual things to people just in conversation. So I don't know how y'all going to understand this, but I had this deep knowing in my knower, as they call it. I knew she was right. What she said was, have you ever thought about being a minister? And I said, oh no. But as much as I was saying no, it was almost like she set me inside of something that was a perfect fit for me. But it wasn't her words. I told you it's hard to explain. Make the long story short, folks, and fast forward and this on. I end up studying and praying about that, only trying to run away from it, only to find out the Most High had called me. Now, when he called me, of course, I was in the Church of God in Christ at the time. I mean, I knew beyond a shadow that it had been prophecies by four different people, four different ministers that didn't even know each other, that I would one day minister, and I hated that, hated them for saying that. But this nevertheless happened when I was young, very young. Again, four different ministries. But I just still try to rationalize it, fight it, get it out of my head, run from it, all kind of things. But I end up understanding that this was my calling by a deep knowing within my knower. And I never will forget when I gave my first message at the Church of God in Christ, Roanoke Church of God in Christ, that when I stepped up to preach, it was like my feet stepped down in a hole, two holes, that was my size shoe. Just imagine you sticking your shoe in a hole that's the exact size of your shoe. That's how it felt. It felt like, in other words, this is your place. And I quit hating it after that. I just began to accept it and continue to study. And that one thing led to other. I ended up leaving Roland Hill Church of God in Christ because of the teaching there was not, they wasn't serious, to be very honest with you. So I ended up going to Church of God in Christ, Holy Tabernacle Church of God in Christ. I'm trying to show y'all some. Watch this. This is going to, you'll see why I'm going here. When I went to Roland Hill Church of God in Christ, many of you know Tamala Mann. I'm just only mentioning her because she's just a big name person that you know. You won't know anybody else I name unless you live in this area. But Tamala Mann went there at the church the same time I went to Holy Tabernacle. And it was a very exciting time for me. The Most High used Reverend Bishop R.L. Sample to really, this is one man that saw me inside out and knew my heart, knew the talent, and this man just was very fond of me. And he was fond of a lot of people, not just me, but he was the one that really accepted me, the first mentor, I guess I could really say, spiritually speaking. And the Most I began to use me. Now watch this, folks. At that church, I began to minister a lot. Well, not a lot, but I ministered every once in a while, you know, like every, I forget how many times I ministered there, but it was not a whole lot, but it was a fair amount of times. But many times at the church, and this, if I went there right now, they would probably remember me for this, the Most High used me to heal many people there. At one time, the miracles was coming so fast. People was getting healed so much. I was preaching this one time, and I said, everybody in here is going to be healed because I was reading a book that said, and Christ healed them all. I think it was by T.L. Osmond. And Christ healed them all, something like that. And he healed them all. And I feel like, well, if he's the real healer and I'm just the vessel, surely he can work through me and he can heal. And I just had simple childlike faith. I wasn't a child, but I just kept it simple. And I told everybody I had a healing line. I asked everybody to come up that needed prayer. And I told them every single one of them was going to get healed. Now, I don't know if you know anything about making statements like that in a church the size of Holy Tabernacle, especially being who I was, a younger person. Everybody else on staff was kind of older than I was, and to make that kind of statement. People walked up, and I began to start praying for people like I did all the time. And I mean, that the words of those scriptures came to life. It might have been 15 people in that line. Every single one of those people claimed they was healed from whatever it was, different pains. Last person, I will forget, was a person that was suffering from a sore throat. And every time I would pray for people, I wouldn't run away from them. I'd say, hey, how do you feel? How do you feel? And she said to me, my throat still hurts. And I'm like, okay, now, Father, I know you told me that you could and would heal all of them. This lady is telling me she has a sore throat. So I said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to just go across there and drink a cup of water and come back and talk to me. And when she went and drank the cup of water, and remember she had a sore throat, not something stuck in her throat. This woman really was sick. But I just believe sometimes you have to have that what they call point of contact. Anyway, she went and drank this water and came back, and she didn't come back. She would dance back because when she, that water touched her throat, she was healed. That was the last person. So this is just what the Most High did, just at this church called Holy Tabernacle Church of Christ, Church of God in Christ. Bishop's R.L. Sample ended up putting me over outreach there for a minute until I left the church and ended up going to Calvary. I felt like the Church of God in Christ's traditions made the Word of God of none effect, and I felt it upon myself to leave, which was wrong. I was definitely in the wrong for leaving that church because you're supposed to wait to the people that mentor you. You know, out of respect, you just, I don't have to, I mean, because the Holy Spirit is my guide. But out of protocol, it'd be better you say, we'll pass the sample, you know, I feel an unction to leave, and I've enjoyed it. But I didn't do that. I just left. I felt like, you know, this church is full of traditions, like churches are right now. They're still full of traditions. They're traditions, like Christ said, make the word of the Most High of none effect. And the Church of God in Christ is guilty of that. They have so many traditions. So many ways to get money out of you. So many ways to just gain, gain, gain. It's a great church in some other areas. They got the best talent probably in the world. But it chokes the word. And so does the Word of Faith movement. And so does the Baptist. And so does the Methodist. And so does the AME. All of these churches, wherever mankind gather to have worship eventually, if they don't stay close to the Most High, their worship begins to choke the very word you're there for. So I left abruptly Holy Tabernacle Church of God in Christ. To this day, Pastor Sample saw me, which he actually saw when I was in Cincinnati. He was up there for a convention. He remembered me like it was yesterday and talks about it. So anyway, Most High used me. So anybody say, well, miracles is not real and all this stuff is just ha, 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 ha. You're too late. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, what do you tell somebody that show up after the party and they trying to argue that there was no party? Look, dude, we already had the party. Miracles are real, folks. You might not agree or believe. That's just because in your world, you out of the loop. You've been somewhere, I don't know, you just missed the party. Now, here's somebody saying religion is man-made. You know, well, religion is. But having a relationship with the Most High ain't. You can have a relationship with the Most High. Miracles are real all day long. I just clicked on the chat room. Normally I keep my eye on it, so I don't really know exactly what's being said. I see this person is saying quite a bit. I don't know if they're with me or not, but it don't matter. I'll hear what they're saying in a little bit. But let's see what's some comments. Let's just go ahead and read a few comments here. The church has never been true. The church has never been true. I don't know what they mean by that. All beings have a oneness with something. Well, that's the church right there. And people call them aliens. They're looking for a so-called God to. Okay, here we go. Maybe an atheist. And most people call them aliens. They are looking for a so-called God too, just like us. Relax every fiber in your body, then you shall see. Anyway, sometimes I like to just read what people are saying because I do care about what they think, you know. Religion is man-made. It is that safe to say. Religion is man-made. Is that safe to say? Anyway, I can tell you this. Religion is acts that men do when they're It's like men's effort to find God, to find this being. But a relationship is somebody like Adam, what Adam had with the Most High. You know he there, and you talk to him, and he talk to you. That's not being religious. If I pray for them people like I did at the Holy Tabernacle Church of God in Christ, I pray for them. And believe that when I touch their bodies, this is going to disappear and that's going to disappear. And there's a lot of miracles going on. I just told you about one little service. Now, you can say what you want to say, but you go ask those people that have been, that were sick and now they're not. They don't call it religion. They start thinking the Most High. So anyway, Religion is a joke, my friend, in the chat room there. Religion is, I think religion is the worst thing on the planet. But I promise you, what I'm talking about is two different things. Having a relationship with the Most High, it's like if you saw a father walking with their son, joking, laughing about something, or maybe they're wrestling with their son, or maybe they're playing football with their son. Would you call them religious? That's how I feel. Calling two people having a relationship religious, a man and a woman hugging, maybe kissing, if you call that religious, that's how I feel about what I'm talking about. However, if you see a young boy talking about his daddy and never really saw him, and his daddy's talking about his son, never really saw him, and they constantly talking about how great each other is, but they never saw each other, then that would be more close to religious as far as worshiping each other. But no, this is a relationship. I'm talking about tonight my personal testimony as far as the relationship with the Most High. And it ain't just about miracles. Everybody want to always talk about miracles as the proof. No, I'm just talking about flat up praying, talking with the Most High, him talking back to you. See, that's another thing. We don't believe that the Most High really talks back. I mean, you know how many people just listen to blogs and sermons, and they really don't believe. I'm telling y'all, look, I can tell. Just wait, let me share some with y'all. Let me share a testimony with y'all. I remember I was at work. Now I'm going to talk to y'all and share some testimonies of voices. Voices that I believe was the Most High, that I believe was the Holy Spirit, if you will. We always say God said or the Most High said, but really he speaks by his spirit that's upon air according to scripture. That means you're minding your own business and a voice come to you in the way of a thought that normally is not your thoughts. It normally is not the way you think. You know what I mean? You have a certain way you think every day, right? Right. Now, if you get some foreign thought in your head, it's either an evil spirit, that spirits have the ability to speak to you, and it sound like thoughts, because we are spirits too. We are spirits with a body, and there are spirits that don't have bodies. So when a spirit speaks to our spirit, it sounds like a thought. Satan, evil spirits, fallen angels, when they speak to you, and they say something like, I'm nobody. I mean, they'll tell you, you're nobody. Some people think evil spirits, when they speak to you, say things like, you're a loser. And they say, what was that voice? But sometimes the evil spirits don't say you are a loser. Sometimes the evil spirits say to you, watch this, I am a loser. And you think that this is you. The only way you know it's not you, I know this sounds a little deeper, y'all. I know it sounds a little spooky. Stay with me. Stay with me. Sometimes people have heard thoughts to kill themselves or to put their baby in the microwave or do something really out there, crazy, weird, strange. And it takes on ownership as though it's that person that's speaking in their mind. My baby is evil. Why would a mother think these thoughts? My baby is evil. That wasn't that woman's thought. That was the voice. These are evil spirits. These spirits have been at each other for thousands of years. We're in the middle of it. Hate to say that. Some of y'all don't know that. But here's another time I have proof. Well, let me just stick with the first story I was going to share. I got so many. I can just talk about spirits forever. That's one of my favorite topics, talking about spirits and different dealings with them, good spirits as well as bad spirits. Again, don't mean I'm some great saint. It don't mean that, folks. I promise you I'm not. But I promise you, what I tell you, you can take it to the bank. I don't lie about stuff like this. This thing is real. If you don't know about it, then just because you don't know and you're ignorant, it don't mean stuff don't exist. We don't understand electricity, but we use it every day. So don't think because you don't understand something, it means it don't exist. Maybe you just need to sit down and learn, okay, because we don't know everything. So watch this, folks. So I'm at work, and I lose some money. I hope I don't have no coworkers listening, but if they are listening, fine. But I didn't like a lot of people at this job. Some of them are my Facebook friends, so they'll probably hear this, but it's okay. I lost some money at work one time. I lost $100. And there was someone that found it. I won't mention no names. And they put it in the safe. And the initial that they put in the safe, that was protocol that you initial, you put it in the safe, that you initial, and then you got to get another initial. So you got to get two people witness, you put money in the safe. For whatever reason, they take the money out later on. For whatever reason. And I get in trouble. This money is missing. Now, my job, you can't be missing $100. You will get fired, walked out the door. Okay, this is a small little thing to y'all. It may not be nothing major, but this is, I'm about to show y'all how a voice delivered me. And there's so many times I've heard this voice that have delivered me, and I give all the credit and the glory and the praise to the Most High. I know He delivered me on this one. Anyway, so I dropped this $100. Somebody found it, put it in the safe, ended up taking it out later on. I don't know if they had a bill or something. They decided they weren't going to put it in the safe. I don't know. But they forgot that they initialed it. So I get in trouble. It's chewed out. My boss is a supervisor. Is just, you know, going through it, telling me everything. They put me on something called termination warning, I think it is, which means if I sneeze, I'm fired. Make the long story short, when I'm leaving the office and I'm just sick because I know that I didn't take the money, I know that it's legitimately lost. My supervisor say, yeah, Seth, there was no other money. Nobody else seen this $100. Nobody else seen it. You know, they said that there was this one other person that had to close out that was 100, but that was a whole other issue that had nothing to do with you. And I said, oh, okay, I'm walking out the door, and I hear this voice say this. Listen, folks, listen, listen. I hear what he just said replayed like a tape recorder. If somebody rewinded him and he said it again, yeah, there's only $100 that this other person had. Now, there's no, I don't really need to think that because he just said it ain't your money. That was the last thing he said. Somebody else had another $100 but didn't have nothing to do with yours. Average person would just walk out. But I heard this voice remind me what he just said. It's like a recording. Like I heard every word he just said again. And I knew that that meant something because this, when this happened, I know, okay, this is not me. What does this mean? What am I supposed to do with that? So I said, what did you just say? And he said it again. He said, well, there was another $100, but it wasn't yours. It belonged to somebody else. And when he said that, his secretary says from another office, yeah, Seth, that other $100 is somebody else's. Okay, what would the average person do when that happened? They would just leave. You got two different people in upper management telling you that that's not your money. But I knew that that voice I heard wasn't my voice. So I weighed in on it. I said, do y'all mind me seeing the paperwork for this other person's clothes? They said, why do you want to do it? Well, if you want to see it, yeah, fine. I said, you mind it? And then the other person yelled out from the other office, his secretary, and said, yeah, that's money. It's not yours. That's money belonged to somebody else. Again, that's the second time this person yelled out that. Average person will let this go, but I knew not to let this situation go. I'm trying to show y'all some, as far as my life is concerned, testimony. This voice, when I'm sensitive, I'm not always sensitive to this voice, and I suffer when I'm not. Anyway, I stayed on it, and they said, okay, we'll get the paperwork for you. And they said, when are you about to go to lunch? Well, they tried to look for the paperwork, and they couldn't find it. 5 minutes passed, 10 minutes passed. He says, well, listen, wasn't you about to go to lunch anyway? And I said, yeah. They said, well, go ahead and go to lunch. When you come back, we'll have it. When I came back from lunch, I'm speeding this story up. I'm just making it real short. It's a lot longer. When I came back from lunch, make a long story short, my supervisor looked at me with this look and said, we don't have it. When he said, we don't have it, I knew that that $100 was mine. Make the long story short, he calls himself being, you know, a lot of time, now no offense to white people, but, you know, they feel like they can just kind of do what they want to do. And so he called HR thinking, you know, they just going to give him a little quick answer. And you know, good old boy system, he just called and said, hey, we got this situation with this money, and what do you think I ought to do? He just thought they would be like, well, I just squash it or something. They said, since you call us about money, we've got to come there and conduct a full investigation. When he said that, he was shocked because he didn't want that. I mean, that means corporate is going to be there looking over his shoulder, looking at all their paperwork, and they just didn't want that. So he bit off too much. He didn't think they would come to him like that, but they ended up coming like that. They came there. We all have to swore. The person that took this money even jokingly told me, because I went on vacation while this was going on, that jokingly told me, he says, well, I might have took your money. I don't know. Now, did y'all hear what I just said? I know some of y'all probably saying, what? The person that took the money out of that found it, took it out, they said, I might have took your money. I don't know. So that just means I was getting on the plane going on vacation. Now, watch this. When I come back, we all have to swear, and that's the first thing I told the guy that was interviewing me. You got to understand the nature of the people I'm dealing with. They oftentimes felt very cocky, white males, like they was untouchable, and they looked sometimes like they was invincible and untouchable. And that's what that call to HR was all about, but they had no idea that it was going to blow up the way it did. Make the long story short, the person was fired. And if you knew who I was talking about, you would think that that wouldn't have happened because all these are white males, and you would think that they would stick together, but no, they didn't in this situation. The guy told me, I believe you, Seth, and we're going to do something about this. And the person was fired. Now, I was basically off the hook. Kind of got a slap on the hand after that, about the $100. But everything was changed. And, I mean, I can talk about another situation that's even greater than that. But all because of this still small voice. Folks, I don't know what that story means to y'all. But had you knew the details of that, knew exactly what happened, there's a lot of name-calling went into effect. People started running for cover because HR was coming, and it was a lot that happened in that. I'm not going off into all that and not sharing names and all that. But the Most High delivered me with that voice by me hearing that. There was another situation. I'm talking about the glory of the Most High. I'm talking about how he had used me in my life, blessed me to see some things, to hear some things, to experience some things, to meet certain people, to be able to see some things in my travels. Even if I never travel anywhere, just some of the people I've met, and I'm going to share a little bit as the show going on, but I got to share something that's even bigger than that, what I just shared with y'all. That was big, though, to me. There was another situation where on this job, I was actually accused of some people just didn't simply like me because I do my job and I don't often say stuff to people. Some of y'all work on jobs. Everybody don't have their own business, so you can relate to what I'm saying. It don't matter if you're on a job or not. These voices from the Holy Spirit can salvage anybody. And this is what we need. It's what we need to be trusting. We need to be looking for. I'm telling y'all, like the previous caller in the chat room, I see he done left. Why do ignorant people not stay around to learn? You know, anyway, maybe he's back. I don't mean no harm, but I'm just saying oftentimes people that don't know don't hang around to learn, you know. But anyway, I guess he's back. But anyway, my point is no offense. But here was a situation where somebody actually said I cussed them out. And they joined together. It was like four people got together and said this all at the same time. This guy cussed me out. Now, everybody know I don't cuss. Everybody know I don't curse. I just don't curse. It is something I don't do unless I'm really, really, really upset. And then what if I do, it's only going to be a few words. I don't just go around saying the type of things they said I said. But when you got four agents that decide they're going to all yoke up and go to a supervisor and tell something. Now, I know some of y'all saying, why would they do that to you? You must have did something to them. I know. It's just, why would I lie to you, though? Why would I lie to you? What am I going to lose in lying to you? I'm telling you, these people yoked up to tell this lie because they didn't like me. I would do my job. I didn't talk much. I didn't give much. I didn't want to hear. I didn't frown, but I just didn't care to hear all of the little personal things. I go to work, and I have a tendency to get out by myself and do a little reading or something, and then when it's time to work, I go to work. We worked at the airport, okay? Some of y'all know that. Anyway, make the long story short, they took my badge and sent me home, okay? That's major. Anytime you get your badge taken on any job and sent home and saying HR is going to do an investigation, 90% of the time people get fired. I mean, at least that's my experience. But watch this. The guy says to me, my supervisor says to me before I leave, he says, now, Seth, what do you think I'm going to do? What do you think I should do? You got four people saying that you use this profanity. I mean, and it's just you. Why should I believe you? And I say, I understand your point, but I promise you I didn't say that. They just don't like me because I don't, you know, I'm a black man, number one. They're whites, number two. And sometimes people just do that. Oh, Seth, come on, here we go with the color thing. I said, listen, man, I live this all the time. He just thought I was just cuckoo. You know, they just couldn't believe that four people would get together and say, let's say this. So what happened is, he said, man, I got to send you home. HR is going to do an investigation. But listen, watch this. He says, Seth, just take it as a vacation. Now, just because somebody tell you that, do you really think the average person is going to even hear what he just said? This man is taking your badge, all your credentials, and you about to walk out the door and talk about, we'll get back with you later, HR going to call you. There is nobody I know of that would just take that seriously. But when I was walking out the door, I heard that voice again. Take it as a vacation. Take it as a vacation. And I locked into that voice because I knew it wasn't my head. And I said, that's what I'm going to do. I took that week as a vacation. Let me tell you what ended up happening, my friend. Those of y'all still listening, I'm telling you, man, y'all are, and ladies, y'all are blessed to hear what I'm telling you. This was a blessing. Watch this. I took that week as a blessing because of that voice. That voice that I know that wasn't mine that says, take it as a blessing. Take it as a vacation. And I told my wife, I'm on vacation. I'm going to look at this as a vacation. So she knew about the voice, and I said, I just feel like this is the most high doing this. And so she said, okay. So we just act like I was on vacation for a week. When I went back to work, HR hadn't said nothing hardly. HR never came to the picture. A supervisor told this other supervisor, I don't think Seth said that. They just don't like him because he don't go out with them. He don't drink with them. He don't hang with them. I don't think he said one person. So that's one person and me saying I didn't do it versus four people. Again, that's four people that said I did. It still don't make sense to believe us two. My supervisor took that person's word and allowed me to come back in good standing and just basically tore up what the accusation was. Now, tell me if that wasn't the most high. Okay, you might say, well, what could have done you? Some of y'all like explaining stuff away. Okay. Let me share with y'all another. I'll tell y'all, I live by this voice. It has kept me all my life. It has saved me, saved my life many times. Let me share another situation. Okay, there was a situation where a young lady was not doing her job. I don't know why I'm talking about this one place I work, but that's okay. Because I can talk about other places. I can talk about when I worked at the hotel. Anyway, let me just move on. But I love this testimony I'm about to share with y'all. Watch this. Please listen to this, because this right here is, I tell everybody this testimony. I was working one time, and you know, doing a job, and there was this young, happened to be a white lady, could have been a black lady, but it happened to be a white lady again. She had this thing where she didn't like doing She was lazy. She only wanted to do things like that had to do with managerial type of things where she looked like she's in charge. But any type of work, that other than that, she just didn't want to do. It didn't matter if it was, it's just any type of the work, okay? Make the long story short, I approached this young lady and asked her, listen, we need you to do your job and not pass on different responsibilities. We need you to step up to the plate and do your job. And she got very upset, stormed out of this area and went down to the office and called the supervisor. Now, some of y'all listening, you don't know none of these people. You're just going on what I'm saying. I understand that, but this person was showing up what the world called a B. I'll just say she was a very racist, arrogant, white supremacist type of mentality. Felt like, I shouldn't say white supremacist, because she didn't really, I don't think she hated blacks. I just felt like she was one of those kids that was just raised to think that she was better than everybody, probably everybody white too. But she definitely thought she was better than I was and everybody else that was around us. But I approached her. So she called. Supervisor ended up talking to me and said immediately, Seth, go home. Just go home. It's going to solve everything. And I said to her, don't you think you should hear my side of the story? When I told her my side of the story, she felt like, oh, okay, it wasn't as bad as I thought. We'll just all sit around and talk about it Monday. Go ahead and stay at work, but we'll talk about it Monday. Make the long story short, folks. Monday I got a phone call that said HR has ordered you you're on leave until further notice. Same kind of jargon I heard the last time when they let me go. And so I'm like, okay, here we go again with this. I'm on leave to HR call. Make the long story short, I appeal this process. I'm going to make this story real long, real short, like in the next 2 minutes. I'm going to be done. Watch this, though. This is a powerful, powerful thing that happened, y'all. This lady filed a major complaint against me saying she didn't like the way I was talking to her. She felt her rights was just a whole bunch of lies. This is a liar we're dealing with. So HR believed her and told me I can't come back to work and blah, 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 blah. I appealed the decision, and on the day of the appeal, which was about a week later, I stood at home all week worried. You know, this time I didn't get that voice. I was just worried. I was, you know, and I appealed. And when they, then they told me to come on back to work. I guess they needed me. They needed me, but I still was, I still had to go to the appeal thing. Now, watch this, folks. Check this out. They sent me an appeal letter letting me know what time the appeal was. I didn't get the letter. I didn't get the letter. And they had sent me an email at first telling me the appeal was like at 4 o'clock. But then they sent this. They sent me an email. So I'm thinking it's at 4 o'clock. But then they sent another letter out saying it has changed. I never got that letter where it had changed time. And guess what? I missed the appeal. And what the airlines do, if you miss an appeal, this airline, you're in trouble. There's nothing you can do if you try to appeal what the supervisor or manager do and you're not a manager. I mean, if you try to appeal it, it just don't work. You got to make your appeals. You got to show up. Make the long story short, they said the only way to appeal, you can get an appeal now. You have to talk to the president of the company. And this is a major airline. And they're telling me I got to talk to the president of the company or the vice president. Now, what are y'all thinking right now when you hear that? You're thinking, uh-oh, you lost that job, didn't you, boy? This was crazy. Now, I'm talking about the Most High, and I'm talking about this voice. That's what we're talking about tonight. I'm talking about how the Most High have been in my life doing different things. I'm just sharing with y'all some different things that happened on the job. And later on, I'm going to talk about some other things that happened when I was in Ethiopia and some other places. But right now, this is just practical, everyday stuff because this is where a lot of y'all live. You know, you're dealing with people like this on your jobs and in your companies. I missed an appeal date. I missed the appeal, and they said the only way you can do this, according to policy of this airline, you have to talk to the president of the company or the vice president. I called the vice president because I just believed things was going to change for me. I was on a termination warning in the meantime, which means if I cough, I get fired. So I can't be on no termination warning. That's skating on ice. So I had to hurry and get this off me and get this appeal process. So I called the vice president, and they told me very strongly, Seth, we can't help you. You missed your appeal. What would you do? Listener, what would you do if that you was told that? You'd be like, okay, well, I just got to be on termination warning, make sure I'm doing wrong, right? That's what everybody would do. I mean, this is the vice president telling you there ain't nothing that you can they can do. You missed the appeal. But I kept hearing this voice I've been talking about tonight saying, keep going. Ask again. Ask again. It don't make no sense to me. This voice is not making sense to me. Why would I ask again? Why would I ask again? It don't make sense. But I've learned, don't question this voice. So I asked again, and they say, I said, well, isn't there a way, since I'm, you know, because there's levels of appeal, can we just skip the first step and go to the second step since I missed the first step? They said, well, there is no second step if you don't go to the first step appeal. So that's the second time the vice president says no to me. What would you do? You would give up. Every single one of y'all listening to me right now would not be going this far. But this voice kept saying, keep asking. So I sent a third letter saying, listen, lady, I know you have missed appointments. I get a little bossy. I mean, I'm just being honest. This is how I talked to the vice president of this company. I said, I know you have missed meetings yourself, and you are a good person, and you obviously doing a good job, but you have missed some meetings. I simply missed one meeting in my career at this airline, and y'all can't help me. This lady changed everything she said previously and set up an appointment. What I'm trying to show y'all is something bigger than what y'all thinking right now. This lady sets up an appointment for me to come see her. Do you know what that means? I was having other trouble on this job with other people. There was a lot of problems at this particular station. Now that I'm going to see the vice president, all of the people in management at this station was nervous because they know that if I go up there running my mouth, they can be in hot water. That's exactly what happened. I get up there and people, coworkers start pulling me to the side and saying, hey, say this, tell them this, tell them that. After everything was said and done, folks, one of the supervisors that I did not like, a new person, was moved to another location. I never had no trouble with management after that. And I know it was because of that voice. I know it was because of that voice that said, keep asking. I know that this voice is the same voice that have been with me through my childhood. And y'all can say what you want to say, because you're not me and you don't live in me. You know, but there is a spirit that knoweth all things, that know all things. There is a God. There is a Holy Spirit that looks out for us. But they tell us, they've been saying this forever, that we just need to get quiet and listen. I can keep going. I can just keep on going to the mall at this time, talking about experiences I had where some said, don't go here, don't go there, and it saved me, saved my life, or it might have saved my health, like with my whole diet thing. You know, at one point, I didn't know what to eat. You know, and I began to pray and ask the Most High. I didn't hear nothing. Kept on praying, asked the Most High. I didn't hear nothing. And finally, I get this answer. If you can see it growing, if you can see this that you're concerned about eating, if you can see your food growing in nature, you can eat it. And I don't care how many science reports I've seen since then, how many scientists on CNN, ABC, CBS, health networks, all of them agree with what I just said. If you can see it growing, you can eat it. That's what you should be eating, what you see growing. You can't see it growing, don't put it in your body. Because that was something major. But I can go on and on and on and on and on talking about different things I've seen. So let me just share with y'all something that happened to me in the land of Ethiopia. Or should I go with that one? I'm trying to name some short testimonies where I can get more in. How can I? Okay, let me just go ahead and share, because this was one of the things that happened lately. And Ethiopia wasn't that long ago. I went up to Ethiopia because I knew that Ethiopia was in the Bible, and it was one of those ancient lands, and I knew that there was a lot there, a history. I knew that it's probably the oldest nation in the world. So I wanted to go to Ethiopia for many reasons. I knew it was beautiful, despite, I knew not to believe the media. I already knew that. So I want to go to Africa. Let the super rich people always go to Africa. The kind of want to be rich people go to Paris and all these other little Hawaii. But the crazy rich people, they take train rides and go throughout Africa and stuff. It's a lot of beauty. You know, you ain't seen until you see giraffes and mountains all at the same time, white cap mountains. Make the long story short, I go to Ethiopia. And I'm being taken, and I start to see that history that I knew I was going to see. You know, start hearing all types. Then we see Haile Selassie Palace, Addis Ababa University Museum there in Addis Ababa. No, that museum in Ethiopia has a rendering of what early man looked like. You got to see it. Go to my Facebook, and I got a picture of it. Ethiopia Addis Ababa Museum has a rendering of what they feel like the first man looked like. Also, Ethiopia has, remember, there's churches all over Ethiopia called Ethiopian Orthodox Church. You can Google this if you want. They have these churches all over Ethiopia. Many of them are underground. You can't see them just if you're standing on the ground, and they're dug into the dirt. Anyway, move on. So this guy's sharing with me, talking with me, and I keep seeing people go to this particular church, and they're kneeling at the church, and they're acting very like much like Catholics. They're kissing the church and different things. And I think I shared this the other day. So if y'all are hearing this for the second time, just bear with me. Watch this. So I say to the guy, "So y'all Catholic?" And he says, "No, we're not Catholic." And I said, "Okay." So he's showing me this and taking me up the top of the hill. Just we drive around, and I see this one of these churches again, and they're acting like Catholics again. He said somebody was a nun. I said, "Nun? I thought you said y'all weren't Catholic." He said nun, a priest, some Catholicism type of term. And I said, "I thought you said y'all weren't Catholic." He says, "We're not." And so he kind of looked at me like, this guy don't get it. So he pulls over. Watch this. Please listen to me. This is major, major, major. This guy pulls his cab over. He says, "My brother, do you remember the Ethiopian monk in the book of Acts?" No, he says, "In the Bible." And I say, "Yes." You're talking about in the book of Acts. He says, "Yes, yes, that's the monk." I said, "The Ethiopian monk." I said, "Yes." He said, "You remember when he got baptized?" "Yeah, I remember the book of Acts, Timothy baptized an Ethiopian monk that was sitting in a chariot. He was a wealthy man sitting in a chariot reading the book of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, one of the books. And Philip said to him, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And the man said, 'How can I unless someone explains?' So Philip began to tell him about Christ. The book of Isaiah or Jeremiah, whatever it was talking about, it was Isaiah, was talking about Christ and how he had just come and died for the sins of the world. And the man, and Philip went on to say that you need to be baptized and believe on Christ. And the man said, 'Well, there's some water right there. What's stopping you from baptizing me?' The Ethiopian monk got out of his wealthy chariot, went and got baptized. Make the long story short, this man went and started a church in the land of Ethiopia. Now, Christ had just died and ascended. Now, think about this. This one needs 50 years after Christ left the earth. And this man is just been converted and took the gospel to the land of Ethiopia. Y'all have any idea what that means? Catholicism didn't come to like a couple of maybe, I mean, thousands of years later. Ethiopian, this man goes back to Ethiopia and established the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Do you have any idea what that do to the whole church world? Do you know what kind of authority and that gives that church over the Catholics? Why do we feel like Catholicism is the religion? You know, all of these churches come out of Catholicism, the Protestant churches, the Baptists and Holiness, and these are what you call Protestant out of the Catholic movement, though. But here is a branch of that's not affiliated with Catholicism at all. These people have something to talk about. I'm telling you, they have some serious history in Ethiopia. That was another thing I felt like the Most High orchestrated. But that guy to pull that cab over and tell me that, and I began to start seeing the country even more different than what I've seen. So anyway, that played a key in the whole trip. But anyway, don't forget, like I said, Tuesday night, if you was listening, that the same Ethiopia had a son, Solomon, Queen of Sheba, Queen of Ethiopia, Queen of Sheba, and Solomon had a child together named Menelik. Menelik went with his mama to Ethiopia. Solomon sent 300 priests to raise this child named Menelik up to be a Hebrew like he was. So when Menelik returned, went to Ethiopia with his mom, the Queen of Sheba, and these 300 priests, Ethiopia got a good dose of the Hebrew lifestyle. Haile Selassie is a direct descendant of Menelik. So Africa got the gospel and Hebrewism way before Europe even thought about getting any of it. That was major. That was major. Oh, my goodness, just telling y'all that, that was major. So the Most High have been with me in my travels, using different people, using different events. I mean, it's so much stuff. Another thing I want to share with y'all before time run out, I'm going to try to get some more in. I don't even know why you're saying sorry, white man. Can y'all, can you please, the one that, this guy goes by the one that, can you tell me what you mean by sorry, white man? Because I hope you're not doing what I think you're doing. A lot of times when so-called black people start trying to share any kind of history that makes them look like something other than a football player and some rapper, white people get all uncomfortable, you know, and I hope that's not what's happening. I'm assuming you're white, maybe you're not white, but they say these little comedy things and they call me on the phone lines and say little stuff when you're simply trying to learn history. And if I was talking about anything else, European history, I'm sure it'll be a wonderful show. Just first, let me make sure I got you right. If you can comment the one that, let me know what you mean by sorry, white man. It's almost like you're picking on white people as a trying to be sarcastic. But I'm not here to bash white people. I'm past that. I'm far, far, far past that. I there was a time I felt like that was needed. I think that's ridiculous, totally ignorant, and I'm far from that. Okay, I went through that in preschool. Now I'm a senior, hopefully. So anyway, but this thing with Ethiopia really blessed me. I mean, it helped me. But I knew Ethiopia would have that kind of history, but I did not know that they predated Catholicism thousands of years. So they may have a more accurate Bible. They may have a more accurate. And by the way, when I went to the Ethiopian Museum, y'all have got to see the Ethiopian Museum. Don't go by what you see online, because different people go over there and take pictures. They have more images of Christ, very dark, than anywhere I've ever seen on the planet. Ethiopia have so many renderings. Remember, they got the gospel before anybody, other than Israel itself, but I mean from Israel. This is Ethiopian. Ethiopia is the first country I know of that got the gospel, I mean, right away. I mean, this is before Paul went on any of his missionaries. This is before Paul, Philip, and the baptism of the Ethiopian monk was before Paul, or Saul. So anyway, that's major, y'all. I don't know if y'all understand that, if you understand the Bible, if you understand history, but that is just major, major, major that Ethiopia got the gospel, and that church is still around today. So, there's so much when you travel. You just learn so much, and a lot of times, white people in high places, not the little white person that go to work with you every day, they don't know. But there's some powerful people that know exactly who we are as a people. They know exactly what's going on, and they are not atheists. They are not atheists. When you got enough money that you can spy on churches and prophets and religious people, you know if there's a God or not. Even if you call yourself an atheist and you got a whole lot of money, you begin to start investigating a lot of these miracles and you find out that stuff is true, I'm telling you, the more powerful you are on this planet, the more you will not be an atheist. You will believe in the spiritual realm if you go and start turning over all these rocks and investigating miracles and investigating a lot of these preachers. Everybody ain't a phony. Everybody ain't phony. Everybody out here ain't tipping and tripping. There's a whole lot of people that's living this thing. They may make mistakes here and there, but there's a whole lot of people that's living this thing. So what I'm saying tonight, I'm just sharing some testimonies, things that I've learned that have just blessed me and changed my life, life-changing events. Another experience I had, I want to share with y'all. I'm trying to just look over the different events. Some of this is long. I'm trying to think of something real small I can tell you about. Here's a good one. My mother passed, and it was something that, as you can imagine, it would devastate anybody when your mother passed, but my mother wasn't sick. So when they pass, when your loved one passed and they're not sick, that can really devastate you. But watch this. Y'all remember the still small voice? Check this out. I got 8 minutes to get this to you. Check this out. This is powerful. And I needed some power because my mother, you know, that's major. When I was told that, I just didn't think I could make it. I ain't going to lie, y'all. I just didn't know what I was going to do. You just feel like you can either die with her or just, you know, it's just one of those things. But I remember when we was rushing to get to, we flew to Chicago, and then from Cincinnati to Chicago, then Chicago and to Dallas-Fort Worth. I remember we was rushing to running to the airport, and Josiah, my son, had to be every bit of maybe 4, 5 maybe. But Josiah looked at me and said, when we was running through Chicago O'Hare Airport, he looks and say this, "Will you remember me when I'm gone? Will you remember me when I'm gone?" Now, y'all may say, "Oh, that wasn't nothing." How many 4-year-olds you know running through an airport, looking at all types of people, looking at all types of, y'all been to O'Hare, you know there's a lot of little things to see, you know, in the windows, toys, and just a whole bunch of designs. It's an airport. Your 4-year-old looks at you and says, "Will you remember me when I'm gone?" Okay, you might say, "Well, that's okay, I hear you, Seth, but I just, all right, I hear you." Watch this. My brother was at work. All of a sudden, he gets this feeling that something is terribly wrong, and he just leave work. Okay, that was one. My brother just leaves work. After the film, we all start hearing about these stories. Watch this. My dad, my biological dad, was reading a letter, and my mom passed, I think, around 4:23 or something like that, 4:13, somewhere in the afternoon. He's reading his letter, and it's an old love letter. He's married to somebody else, okay? Married to another woman, but he happened to be reading his letter. I guess he run across it or something. And it said at the end of the letter, I gotta go. This is my mother talking to my biological dad back in the day when he was dating. He's now married. This letter is probably 40 years old. He finds it for some reason. Don't know anything about my mom. And it says this, I gotta go. I'm going to go downtown, and we're going to share the Lord today. We're going to go witnessing. And she said, you never know. This may be the day he calls me home. And she signed the letter at the same exact time that she hit the pavement and had that heart attack. It was the same exact time. Okay? I'm not done, though. I just heard a beep. Hopefully I'm still on. Uh-oh. Let me plug this in. I don't want to lose y'all. Got a warning. My phone is low. Watch this. My brother-in-law is at work, and he shares. These are all these people saying this to me. Now, you say, well, maybe they're all lying. Maybe they are. Maybe they are. But I kid you not, all of these things happen at the same time. Watch this. Now, of course, my son, what he shares, that wasn't at the same time. That was much afterwards. I told y'all when we first heard it, we got on the plane and had to go. So he shared that actually later on. But will you remember me when I'm gone? But it was almost like somebody was using his body. It's almost like my mother was speaking to him, which is weird. I know. But he said that, which I thought was very crazy. I mean, we weren't even talking about death. The last thing we want to do is be telling him. But he did look up and say that, as if my mother was trying to say, I want y'all to remember me. But watch this. My brother-in-law is at work, and he all of a sudden just kind of loses his breath. I wish he was on the phone to talk about how he had lost his breath around the same time in the afternoon after 4 o'clock. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on in our world that the Most High is trying to get our attention. Now, unfortunately, we are not close to him where he can just talk to us like a father talked to us and say, hey, today I'm going to take your mom. Or today your mom hasn't taken care of herself and her body's going to give out or something, whatever he's going to say to us. That's what a father would do. So since he can't get to us because we're not close to him, we have all these experiences. I'm telling y'all, he is real, he is powerful, and he has been a blessing in my life. And I know some of y'all may not say he. You might call the Most High, whatever you call the Most High, but I'm just saying to y'all, please know that he has been real in my life. This voice, I'm going to talk about it more on Saturday, but this voice has saved me. I ain't even told y'all the half that it's come. I have not even told y'all the half. So Saturday, tune in. On Saturday, we're going to go over this again. We're going to get more into this. I think we'll do the show at 11:30 p.m. on Saturday. But the Most High is good. I hope that this has inspired y'all to reconsider your relationship with him, because truly there is no other hope for us. Our world is very complicated, and we need a very powerful being to direct us. As smart as we think we are with all our little research and colleges and all of the technology we have, we still don't understand this thing called life. We need to follow the Most High. So I got like 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 50 seconds. So I just want to thank everybody for listening, and I'm going to go ahead and sign out. I love every single one of y'all, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Thank y'all for listening. Don't forget to follow the show. I'm going to wrap this up with a song. I want y'all to check this song out. I came in with this song, and so I'm going to leave with this same song. Please pay attention to the words. I know I've lost everybody on the internet, but those of you listening on the archives, check this song out. This is my life's, truly my life's message right here.
You may ask me why I serve the Lord. Is it just for heaven's gain? Or to walk those mighty streets of gold and to hear the angels sing? Is it just to drink from the fountain that never shall run dry? Or just to live forever, ever and ever, in that sweet old by and by? But if heaven never was promised to me, neither God promised to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along, brought me the light. If there were never any streets of gold, neither a land where we'll never grow, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along, brought me the light. Oh, He's been my closest friend down through the years, and every time I cry, He dries all my tears. Just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, He came along and brought me the light. I was lost and living in a world of darkness, but it brought me the light. Don't you know I was living in a world of darkness, but it brought me the light.